Take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 6. 14:6. So, Brother Scott, that's an unusual place to start preaching in the book of Revelation. Bear with me. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. The reason he doesn't find it, he doesn't have an attitude. He has attitude issues and other issues a scorner does. Notice the last half of that scripture. But knowledge is easy. Stop. I know what you're thinking. Why are there so many seemingly ignorant people on the planet? But this is in the Bible, so we have to believe it. But knowledge is easy. The cool thing about the Bible is if we read it long enough, it'll answer its own questions. But knowledge is easy to him that understandeth the difference. There's three words in the book of Proverbs: understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. Real quickly, understanding is the concept, the general idea. The combustion engine, spark plug sparks, gas is squirted into a cylinder, it explodes, pushes a piston down, turns some stuff, turns the wheels, you go. That's the concept of a gasoline combustion engine. Am I correct, mechanical people? Am I pretty close? All right. Now, if you got that and you can't afford to hire a mechanic, Ms. Carey, if you'll start at the top of your motor, start taking it all to pieces when something's wrong with it, and look at every piece, you'll find the broke one eventually, all right? While you're doing that, you will gain knowledge. So the second time you do it, it'll be easier than the... So knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. You got me? Wisdom, what is that? Wisdom is knowing when to apply the knowledge that you got from this process. If something is not wrong with your car motor, don't take it apart.
Amen.
Okay? You know, if something's wrong with it, you have... Never mind. Okay, I don't want to know. Unless you just like doing that. I know people that like doing that, actually. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going down that road right now. Okay. Wisdom is knowing when to apply the knowledge you got from the gift of understanding. Are y'all with me? I read all that to dispel the myth of the fact that you cannot understand the Bible and the book of the Revelation. That's a myth. That's a lie of the devil. Okay? God did not give you a book that you cannot understand. Now, admittedly, 2 Peter chapter 2 talked about the Apostle Paul, and he said he wrote some things that's hard to be understood. Okay? That's a scripture in 2 Peter. All right, now let's go, Joshua, to... The reason so many people have trouble with the book of Revelation is, first of all, they think it's revelations, plural. But it's not. It's the revelation or the unveiling of the Christ. So, Brother Scotty, there's a lot of chapters and there's a lot of stuff. But a lot of these chapters are all stacked and layered and happening at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? Now go with me to Revelation chapter number 1, verse 1. Normally I do this in one service, but I'm going to slow down and do it in two services, because I want you to get it. Because if you get this concept, then little by little you can start adding the knowledge, the details, and then you'll know, I saw a verse somewhere over yonder. I saw another verse somewhere that's similar to this right here. Because see, to understand prophecy, you're going to have to understand the book of the Revelation. You're going to have to understand the 2 Peter. You're going to have to understand 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. You're going to have to understand Romans 9, 10, and 11. You're going to have to understand the book of Daniel. You're going to have to understand the gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Can I stop there? You're going to have to know all of that. Just because you can read one verse does not mean you got it all figured out about the coming of the Lord. And like I said last week, if you're confused about the second coming of Christ, it's because you're confused why he came the first time. He's coming the second time for the same reason he came the first time. He has redeemed us. He came to save us. He's coming to save us. Salvation is a big package. It's just not just a ticket out of hell. You understand what I'm saying? Now, are y'all with me so far? Revelation, John the Beloved, the youngest of the apostles, wrote this book as given to him by the Holy Spirit. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of the Son of God, God Himself, which God gave unto him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. I know the word shortly is in there. Peter said, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. So God's shortly is a little bit different than our shortly. Okay, this is a spiritual book, all right? That's where we want God to do it right now. Follow me? It doesn't necessarily work that way. Are y'all still with me? Shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, whether you understand it or not, just read it. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So read it. I promise you, if you read it enough, stuff start popping out at you. Huh, I heard, Brother Scotty, I heard this stuff will start coming together. It's important that you should know the rest of the Bible, though, or you won't ever understand it. Verse 4, John to the seven churches. These were actual real churches with real names, like God's House. These were real, end-time, real-time churches. And so John writes to the seven churches he's led to write to, all right? He writes to all seven of them, sends a copy to all seven of them, so it can get out to everybody and ultimately wound up in the canon of Scripture that we have before us today. Thank the Lord. All right, now, go on down to verse number 8, if you would, please. Let's do verse 7, Joshua, I'm sorry, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Who pierced him? I need it tighter than that, doctrinally. Who pierced him? The Jews. Behold, he cometh, no offense, whoever said that. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. There are verses in the Bible that have years in them. Just take a deep breath. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. And who's going to see him, Matthew? Who's going to see him? Every eye. Is every eye going to see him at the rapture? No. See why you need to slow down. Slow this Mustang down, Sally. You understand what I'm saying? Behold. You see that word? It says, shh, whoa back. He cometh with clouds. When's he going to come with clouds? To catch his church away. I know you're not going to answer now because you ain't about to go there. All right, he's going to come in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. He's going to come in the clouds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's clouds. What's that little funny thing after that with a dot and a little comma? Semicolon? A semicolon means you need to take a deep breath. What does and mean? He's going to add something else. May not be talking about the same thing he started out talking about. You know how I am. I get started telling stories and another story runs through my mind. I start one and finish another one. Y'all, I know I do that. I know y'all think, well, he's pulled things crazy. He never did finish the other story. I'll finish it. Just keep coming, all right? Behold, he cometh with clouds. We might not even get past this verse, actually, but we're going to try. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Rapture. I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, and I don't use it that much. I like to use the word caught away, but the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it means to be caught away. The word Bible is not in the Bible, but we have one. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, catching away of the church. Are we in agreement with that? And they also which pierced him. Now, if you go to the Old Testament, you'll find out that's the Jews. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. There's a lot of time in this verse. When is the world going to wail? When are they going to see? When are the Jews going to see Jesus next? Physically. Armageddon. He's coming riding white horses at the end of the tribulation period. And he's going to sit down on the Mount of Olives. You can read that in Zechariah. And every eye, this almost verbatim is in Zechariah. You can go back and read it. We're not going to turn back to it. It's a real short book. Only got about 12, 13 chapters in it. So you can find it pretty quickly. All right? So in this verse, there's 7 years at that semicolon. I didn't say it was easy to understand prophecy. I just said you had to slow that Mustang down just a little bit. And you have to read it like 500 times. And verse number 8 now. Because that whole verse, the first part, the clouds, Angie, is over 2,000 years from when Jesus told John this. The other part of that verse is 2,007 years from Glenn when Jesus told John this. Are y'all still with me? If you're not with me, don't lie. Just say, no, I'm not with you, Brother Scott. And we'll just start over. Y'all good? All right. Verse 8. Jesus now is in real time with John on the Isle of Patmos. They tried to kill John, boiled him in oil, and did everything, filleted him, fried him. Just couldn't kill him, so they just throwed him out on the island. We'll shut him up. And God gave him the most profound writings that you'll ever read. I am Alpha and Omega, he says to John in real time over 2,000 years ago. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. That's who Jesus is. In other words, John, I know it's a little rough right now. I know they've boiled you in oil. I know they've thrown you out here on this island. I know it's kind of rough right now, but it's not over yet. Because I have not changed. Those miracles you saw me do, that was just kind of like a little cheap appetizer compared to what I'm fixing to do. No negative implication to the miracles in the Gospels because they're not cheap appetizers, especially if you was the one dying and got raised from the dead. But you get my point. Things are fixing to happen. I preached last Sunday on prophecy without fear because Paul said, comfort one another with those words. I didn't say that there wouldn't be no rough days ahead. Are y'all still with me so far? All right, Jesus is talking. Go to verse 12. You need to read all this stuff yourself. Interesting verse. John is talking. What's John do? Just sit there a minute and look at that verse. I want you to get this. So if I'm boring you, I'm sorry. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Whatever you're doing, if God speaks to you, you turn. You shut her down and say, just hold it just a second right here. Just hold it right here. He turned to see the voice, Allison, that spake with me. And being turned, he saw 7 golden candlesticks. And this is where it starts really really getting pretty heavy. All right, let's go to verse 13. Lord help me. In the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one was like unto the Son of Man, Jesus, clothed with a garment down to his foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, verse 14. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire. John had never seen him like this before. Verse 15. And his feet were like unto brass. Seemed like I read something about brass in Daniel. If they burned in a furnace. Seemed like I read something about a furnace in Daniel. And his voice is as the sound of many waters. Not the soft-spoken, authoritative man that he was, but something has changed. This is a different Jesus for John, because John was with him 3.5 years face-to-face. He is now the lion. He's no longer the lamb. Verse 16, And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Verse 17. And when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Let me just stop right there. The American church has a love affair with religious fear. You can put something fearful out on social media, it'll go viral. You put this on social media, you'll get 3 likes. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Why? Because this ain't fun. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me and said unto me, don't fear, because I am the first and the last. I was here when you got here. I'll be here when you go.
Amen.
So no worries. Verse 18. Help me, Lord. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. I am the man. If you was waiting on the man to get here, he's here. He's here today. Hebrews, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, forever. What's Revelation chapter 13 about? Anybody know?
Mark.
Thank you. What's Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 14 about? It's about the 144,000 Jewish prophets. So, Mr. Wayne, you can take 14 and stack it on top of 7. And you can read them together. Even though one's over here, Jake, and one's over there. Are y'all with me? We could pull chapter 13 out and read it right now, Sonya B. And it would be relevant. You don't have to read 1 through 12. You don't have to read 14 through 22. You can read chapter 13 by itself. It stands alone. Chapter 11, what's it about? I hadn't looked at my notes, so bear with me. Chapter 11 is about the two witnesses that die in the streets. Y'all remember that? Mickey, we can read it right now. Pull it out. There are not other books like this in the Bible. This is the only one. You can just pull it out, Glenn, and read it. It'll stand by itself. So what are you saying? There's a whole lot of chapters happening at the same time. Well, why didn't he put the mark of the beast over here instead of over there? Well, then you'd be wondering why it was over there and not over here. He did consider that we might have some intelligence by now and could read, all right? Can I get an amen? You know that merry-go-round, it goes round and round, up and down? It's got, was it 3 rows? Why is it not called merry-go-rounds? For the same reason the book of the Revelation is not called the Revelations. They all work together. They're all going to come out together in the end. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's only one book, singular, and it is not plural. There's a lot of stuff happening in under the canopy of this book. Chapter 2, chapter 3 is about the church age, the last 2,000 years. But it's also about 7 real-time churches that was over 2,000 years ago that the Apostle Paul started, and he sent letters to them. Now, these churches, if you study and you study deep and you go deep, I mean you dive deep, you're going to find parallels to time since the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 2, to now. And you're going to find all these parallels in history, which you can find. I've done it back in the 80s when there was no Google, when you had to go to the library and check out these big, thick, musky books and read them. You understand what I'm saying? And so there is parallels, all right? But this 2 and 3 has, 1 has happened, 2 and 3 has happened, chapter 4, verse 1. Go there with me and I'll leave you there. Chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The only one. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. What does that sound like to you? Sound like John's going somewhere. Come up hither, trumpet, the heavens are opened. Sound like John's going to get raptured out to me. Does it sound that way to you? Because chapter 4, chapter 5 is about worshiping in heaven. Now, when this happens that we read about last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, when that's chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 is right there in the first, after this I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven and the first voices I heard and it was trump of God, come up hither. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, there it is in the book of Revelation. Are y'all with me? Now when this happens, the church goes to heaven, that's you and I, and we worship, chapter 4, chapter 5. We're in heaven. Got me? Go to chapter 6, verse 1. Come on, stay with me. Chapter 6, verse 1. All right, we in 6, 1 now. This also happens simultaneously. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, all are happening at the same time. And I saw, when the Lamb opened, one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see, verse 2. And when I saw him, behold, a white horse. Now, this is not the white horse in Revelation 19. Two different white horses. Jesus and I will be riding white horses in Revelation 19. So who is riding this white horse? And he that sat on him had a bow, a war, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. This is when all hail. You ever heard of the four horsemen? This is when all hell breaks loose. Because this white horse, he ain't the right white horse. We won't be here. We'll be in heaven with Jesus. We're going to come back riding white horses, chapter 19, verse number 11. But it's not this same guy, and it's not this same white horse. Why? Because this fellow, he on earth. I ain't here. Read, I'm up there with Jesus. Are y'all with me? You ever heard of the word Antichrist? The deceiver, the liar, verse 2, verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, the second beast say, come and see, verse 4. It just starts unfolding. Things start happening. There went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Just when you thought there wasn't no peace now. Are y'all still with me? The red horse takes the peace, and him that sat on takes the peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. All hell breaks loose. The 7-year tribulation period, the wrath of God, has begun. It hasn't begun yet. If you think it has, I feel sorry for you if you're going to be unsaved and be here when it does, because it's going to kick up a little bit. Like I said last week, the earthquakes will be so bad, the mountains will shake down. There will be no more mountains. All the islands of the sea will sink. A great part of the oceans will turn to blood. So, don't know about you, but if you're not ready to meet Jesus, and you're going to try to hang on without him, stupid idea, but nevertheless, people do stupid things every day. All right, if you're going to do that, I would not go to a mountain or island. I'd say like in the flat, like delta places. You know what I'm saying? And I'd go inland, because when a mountain and an island starts sinking, you know when you get 7 kids in the bathtub, it don't take but this much water because it... You know, they worried about the water coming up and taking over. It's coming, baby. It's coming. But I won't be here this... Are y'all... Have I got at least kind of in your mind, kind of understanding how this whole, the book of Revelation is kind of working? There's a lot of merry-go-rounds and Ferris wheels and twisters and twizzlers and ducks and balloons and darts and all kind of stuff happening all at one time. But I won't be here. I'll be gone to be with Jesus. Yep. Gonna go stand before him, the judgment seat of Christ. And then we will come back with him in 7 years of the tribulation period. We'll get to that later. Father, we love you today and we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Give us understanding, Lord. Give us understanding so that we understand the Word of God. Because understanding the Word of God removes fear from us and gives us peace. And so help us to understand the Word of God as you have written it and as you have meant it to be. Because when that trumpet sounds, I'm gone. There are those that are behind, that are left, that have no hope. And all hell's going to break loose. Chapter 6, verse 1, thereon begins to describe the seals that are opened. A release, basically. The seventh seal releases seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet releases seven bowls or vials of the wrath of God. So, Lord, we thank you, God, and we comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, Paul said, now comfort one another with these words, the fact that Jesus is coming after you. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, he said he did not design us for wrath. There is no scripture in the Word of God that has taught us how, as a church, to endure the tribulation period. And God always teaches us everything that we need to know. And so since we don't know how to function during that time frame, we will not be here. Not to mention the fact, from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 19, the church is not mentioned. Only Israel and the nations of the world. So we will not be here. And so, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we bless your holy name. If there's someone here in our midst that's not ready to meet Jesus, they need to make ready. He could come this afternoon. There's nothing holding him back. There's not one scripture, no place, nowhere, Genesis to Revelation, holding him back. All Jesus is waiting on is the Father to say, go. Go get them. Bring them home. Their work's done. I'll take it from here. So come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until then, help us to tell people about Jesus Christ.